Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your host, Matt.
And I am co-host, Cliff.
Cliff, it's been like exactly a week since we did a podcast.
Exactly one week. And, you know, some three wisdom teeth and, you know, various other things that got in the way. Not my wisdom teeth.
I lost my job. I had to get a new one. That was fun.
I can't contribute to that.
Yeah. Also, Australia tried to melt for a minute there, so.
Like, real hard.
Yeah. I did not enjoy it.
No.
Surprisingly for me, as a very pale person.
Yeah. One night, at like 8 o'clock at night, it was 46.7 outside my back door.
That's fucked.
Not cool, bro.
Inherently not cool. But anyway, we thought we'd just give the world time to have some stuff happen before we had something to talk about. But they didn't do a good job, so we're just going to do it anyway. How are you?
I'm all right. I've been playing some games.
That's good, because I haven't. I've had a house guest for the past week, and I didn't have time to play any games except for Kingdom Hearts every chance I had.
Do you have any idea what's going on in that game? I mean, do the developers even know what's going on in that game?
I'm still having trouble wrapping around my head around the fact that the game is out.
Yeah.
Like, it's been 15 years?
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's been 400 other games with Kingdom Hearts in the title come out between then.
They do not count.
No, because they're all the same two games.
There was some recapping, for sure. Yeah, it's an experience. Do we want to talk about that first?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts. It's out. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I mean, it's a game I've been looking forward to for a long time, ever since I was a small fetus playing Kingdom Hearts 1. And I guess 2. But, yeah, it's been so long that, I don't know, it's just been like the expectation of it coming out as opposed to an active investment in the storyline anymore. I have had to do some wiki reading to remind myself of the past events. I've watched, you know, the story so far stuff on YouTube. And weirdly, in the intro to the game, there's the intro movie that plays, you know, when you come to the title screen, which has a recap of scenes and stuff from the previous games to kind of catch you up. But it doesn't do a great job. And then there's another cinematic at the start of the game right after that, which does the same thing again. And you get a Kingdom Hearts 3 title card about 5 times in a row, which is an interesting choice. So, yeah, it didn't really help me catch up, but as soon as you've gotten through the prologue or whatever, it unlocks this memory archive thing on the home screen, so you can go in and watch, like, recaps per game, I think.
Why don't I just have that from the start?
Yeah. The story so far in excruciating detail. Yeah, because there's a lot going on in a lot of directions. Every time you finish a world, you get cutscenes, and there's, like, 16 different things going on.
Right, so does the story of the third one... Okay, sorry. Does the story of the second one actually specifically, like, push in a direction like there will be a third at the end? Do you get to the end and want to go, like, shit, this is, like, Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah. Like, the games have always laid hints for the next game. And also have had a history of doing, like, a secret movie where you have to fulfill certain criteria in the game, whether it's collecting a bunch of stuff or... God, I can't even remember what the criteria were.
I think it was all tedious bullshit. Kill 10,000 of this creature.
Not quite that bad, but I think it was, like, 100%ing your treasure collection on the maps and stuff, which is just finding all the treasure chests and things like that. And it was always, you know, if you were playing on beginner difficulty, you couldn't get it at all. So you had to play on, like, standard proud, I think is what they called hard. Mm-hmm. And then insane was the top tier.
Mm-hmm.
This one, they've done a little bit differently. So there is a movie leading into what will happen next. Weirdly, because we're in the modern age, the movie wasn't on the disc when it was put out. They sort of held it back as a day one update so that people couldn't leak it early. And you basically, while you're going around the world, and they kind of introduce this in the story, you see lucky emblems, which are basically the Mickey Mouse symbol.
Of course.
So you can find them in the environment, either like stamped on walls and stuff, or from the particular placement of objects in the world, you see it from a certain angle and it becomes the lucky emblem. And you have to take photos of them with your gummy phone, because you don't just have a gummy ship now, you have a gummy phone, because millennials. So you have to take photos. You can take selfies with them as well if you really want to. And it varies how many of them you have to find depending on your difficulty in order to unlock the movie. So beginner can get access to it, but they have to find all 90 emblems scattered throughout the game. The standard mode, you have to find 60, and then proud, you only have to find 30. So if you're not actively looking for them, I think you could achieve 30 pretty easily. What I'm going to do, though, is only take photos of them when I feel like it, and then after I finish the game, I'm just going to watch it on YouTube, because Papa don't got time for that. That's but the game, the game itself, it's a lot. Like, over the course of the games, there have been three major enemy types. You've got the Heartless, of course. The Nobodies from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah, they say heart a lot in this game. I watched the first hour and a half of it being played, and it's just, well, you shut up at fucking heart.
Oh, it's the worst. So Heartless, the Nobodies, and the Unversed, who I remembered existed, but I couldn't remember what their deal was. And, oh boy, it's a mess. So there's Sora, and then his nobody Roxas, who looks completely different to him, but that's because Roxas was created because the heart of Ventus, who looks also like him, was inside the heart of Sora from a long time ago, and it's been resting there alongside with six other different hearts that have passed through there, because Sora's heart's a slut, apparently. Which influenced how his nobody looked, but then also there was another one who was created from the negative feelings of Ventus, who looked like Sora but with black hair, and because he was made up of sad feelings, he could create monsters called the Unversed out of negative emotions, so he was going world to world creating negative emotion monsters. Yeah,
this game's full of, like, classic JRPG wank.
There's also a clone of Sora who's actually a girl who looks like Kairi but with black hair, and her name is Shion, and I still don't remember what the deal was with her.
All right, so we're going to have to stop talking about Kingdom Hearts now, because otherwise we'll get 14 hours of shit like that.
Yeah, just to quickly cap it off, I will say, like, the game's enjoyable, but I'm realizing once again that Kingdom Hearts, I don't play it for the Disney content. I just get through the Disney content to go to the story segments for the actual Kingdom Hearts storyline. So they've been a bit of a slog. Frozen in particular, it took fucking forever. Mm. It's such a big world.
It's not, but fucking weirdly, Frozen's they do, not even that good.
Yeah, they're running out of movies at this point, though. Yeah, they weirdly do have the music rights to some of the songs. So you hear a bit of Let It Go and Wanna Build a Snowman, which and one of the other ones.
Which is that really weird thing about streaming. The message you get about streaming the game, because apparently you can't just go to YouTube and look up Let It Go. You have to go and find a stream of this game being played so that you can listen to those songs. Like, for fuck's sake, whoever made this, Squeenix, I'm assuming, is it who made this?
Yes, it's Squeenix. Yeah,
like, get over yourselves.
Yeah, it's a mess. Like, the combat is very smooth. There's, like, so many layers to it now, which can be fun, but also kind of hectic. Not everything needs to be mapped to the triangle button, but it is. And that's infuriating. We're getting
into a world where proper button mapping and control schemes are getting shit, because they're either, you either have the Red Dead problem where you have so many things to do that the button overlap for actions is either get on horse or punch lady in face.
Yep.
Even though you're looking at your horse, you turn 90 degrees and punch the lady in the face. Mm-hmm. Or like, I need to talk to that person, except it pulls gun and they shoot you instead of talking to them. So, and then, something needs to be done about controls, about making them more simple and not having to use like 14,000 button combinations to play a game.
Please, God, yes, please. Yeah, combat's good. I mean, I'm just not excited as much as I thought I would be. Like, all the elements are there. It's enjoyable, but it doesn't feel modern, which is true to the history of the series, but isn't necessarily true to making a successful game.
I mean, 15 years has passed, and games have come a long, long ass way.
Yeah.
You gotta get up with the times.
Yeah. On the one hand, though, I'm pretty excited that I haven't done too much reading into what's in the game, so I don't know what the worlds are, which is pretty cool. Like, I'm up to Big Hero 6 at the moment, And that could be fun.
Just go to IMDb, look up the top grossing like Disney films of the last 15 years, and that's what world you're going to go to.
Yeah, I want to go to Moana, but I don't think it's in this.
That's a shame, actually.
Yeah.
They should have replaced Frozen with that.
Yeah, Frozen, yeah. Tangled, Big Hero 6.
Okay, when in Tangled...
Pirates of the Caribbean, which is some horrible Uncanny Valley nonsense.
The Tangled, do they have the sweet little like chameleon thing?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine.
He's I'll in allow that. It. Yeah, so Kingdom Hearts. I'll decide how I feel about it once I've actually reached the end of the story. Because despite the fact that I've done a bunch of worlds at this point and I'm mid-30s level, it still feels like everything's just slow boiling. I don't really get what the overall gist of the game is. I know that you're hunting for the other Keyblade wielders, but no headway has been made on that whatsoever.
I bet you get to the end and think, I don't know where this game went.
Mm. But it will be the conclusion to the Xehanort saga, which means they can finally move on to phase 2 of Kingdom Hearts. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Played anything else?
Yes, I played a little bit more Red Dead, but not much. Mm-hmm. I'm still not finished it, but I am in sort of the epilogues, which I think I was last time anyway. So
they don't. They should have got rid of Guama, or expanded Guama, and then not done the prologues. They didn't really need the prologues. The prologues don't really add anything to the game.
Yeah. I did also pick up a Game of the Year edition of the original Red Dead Redemption and started playing Undead Nightmare, because I never got around to playing it. And it's fun, but it's just hard getting back to that era of games after playing something that is as well put together as Red Dead 2.
Mm-hmm.
So those, and Tales of Vesperia, still chipping away at that on the Switch, because I like having things to play when I'm on the tram. And that's it. That's all I've been playing. Because it's been a very light week.
I've been playing kind of a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried out a new Battle Royale game that came out a little while ago, Rings of Elysium. It's okay.
Like I've heard of that.
It's okay. It plays pretty well. It's pretty smooth. The twist is that you're on like a volcano island, and so the ash and everything is encroaching on the land. And it's not a circle. Okay. It's split up into like distinct actual like boundaried zones that are like more like puzzle pieces.
Right, okay.
And it chooses like a random chunk and the rest get ashed out. So you get poisoned to death, basically. That comes in and then you get to the last bit and instead of just surviving, you don't have to actually survive last man standing. There's four places on a helicopter that comes in to rescue the survivors from the volcano eruption. And you just have to get onto in one of those places. And if you're in a team of four and one of your guys gets in, you will win.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun when you get a whole bunch of people there and then someone goes and makes a run for the... because you have to climb up a big, long ladder to get to the helicopter. Once you're in, you're good, but when you're climbing that ladder, boy, you're a bullet magnet. People
nice.
Shooting everywhere. So it's kind of fun. It's interesting. You can get a... this is the snowboarding one where you could snowboard around.
Okay.
It was like the first map was set on like a ski resort, and so you could hang glide you could glide around and snowboard. Nice. But you can also get BMXs and a grappling hook in this one. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. You just whip out your bike out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then...
As you do.
And then when you just ditch it and get off it and it disappears. But, you know, it's pretty fun. So I played a bit of that. It's free to play. And then you can buy, you know, like the Fortnite-type pass.
Yeah.
That now everyone does. So I played a bit of that. That's not bad. I've been playing a couple of other games, though. A couple of games... The first one, I'll let you say it because I always say it wrong.
Would that
be... The P one.
Pokemon.
No.
Pikuniku.
Yeah, that one. So we were very lucky to get some codes from that. I was looking at who sent them before and I immediately forgot who they are. So you look that up while I talk, okay? It's pretty fun. Do you ever play the... Fantastic Mr. Dizzy or the Adventures of Mr. Dizzy?
I did not.
Back on like Mega Drive or SNES?
No.
Right, so these games, this game came out like, it reminds me of that. It's a 2D kind of one big world kind of thing where you progress through by solving puzzles and you get further in the game by, you know, it's like, oh look, there's clearly more to the right of the screen. in this platformer type 2D world. But to get across, I have to do a thing. So at the start, you have to like kick a spider across a thing to repair a bridge, because he puts a web trail behind him and you can walk across. And it's this weird, like, you know the idea of a Japanese TV show that's the super mega ultra happy hour kind of thing. So it's like colors and music, and every time you collect an item, it has a what's the best way to describe it? Like a computer voice to text. A text-to-voice kind of thing comes over and just tells you what it is, which is kind of, it's kind of adorable. It's not, and it says it really, really quick, so it just pops up and says, like an apple, and then that you just keep going, and you're like, what, did that just say an apple? It just happens really, really fast, so you do this bunch of stuff, and it's, you just cruise around solving puzzles. You're a monster that escaped from a cave, except you're not really a monster, and a guy gets really annoyed that, because you've now emerged from the cave, that all his merchandise is now void, because his merchandise monsters don't look like you, the monster. And yeah, it's kind of a fun game. I'm playing it on Switch. It's I don't really know how long it is, but I've done a fair chunk of it. It's kind of weird. It's interesting. The graphics are very like a flat kind of, you know, the sort of modern material flat design. It's like
very
that.
Kind of vectoral, like Loco Roco kind of style.
And your character is a little oblong, with like long bendy legs that when you walk and jump around, they go really, it's like they've got ragdoll physics, but your body stays where it is.
Procedurally generated walk cycle like they did in Grow Home and Grow Up.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. So it's this weird little game. It's great. It reminds me very much of, like Fantastic Mr. Dizzy back in the day, where you had to collect stars, and you go to a new area, and then there's like a puzzle you can't solve, but later in the game you get a thing that you can come back to, and it unlocks a further area, maybe like up in a tree that you couldn't get to before, and then there's underground ones. So you're constantly going around the place doing all sorts of stuff, you know, saving people, solving problems, finding a rock that's apparently alive that was underground, breaking eggs, and then rounding up the birds that flew out. They went on like kind of a Rumspringer kind of thing. Like they escaped and they're like, yeah, I'm having a great time. Oh, what, my mum wants me back. Fine, I'll come home kind of thing. It's kind of fun. It's really hard to explain, because there's not many games like it.
Yeah, it's an odd little thing.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of charm.
Yeah, unfortunately with a lot of these games we've been provided recently, I haven't really had a chance to check them out myself because of social obligations, being a good host and all that. So this is a fun turnaround that it's you who's playing video games.
Yeah, and this is definitely one that I think you'll get a kick out of, especially with the whole Switch, you know, take it anywhere you can play it bits at a time. That's an awesome game. Did we figure out who sent those to?
That was the good folks at Devolver Digital.
Oh, Devolver. Ah, oh, our best bros.
We love Devolver. Yeah,
they're cool
people. I like them as more than friends.
I mean, but do they like you more than friends?
Look, from the bushes outside their office, it really doesn't matter.
Very, very, very fun game. Very much enjoyed playing it. I'm going to play it some more. But I've also been just recently been playing another game that's we've also been supplied a code for that I've had my eye on for a long, long time. It's one of those sort of early access games that's developed, and now they've finally gone 1.0, or they will be. Did we okay, if I can actually talk about it, I think it was a we didn't get a date on it, did we?
Let's just say that we are playing it and leave it at that for now.
Oh, that's right, this, because it comes out, if you release it tomorrow we're good.
Yes.
Alright, cool. So yeah, I've been playing
Time Traveling Podcast.
I've been playing Astroneer, which is which is a very very bright and colourful survival type game where you got to, you know, crafting lots of that type of junk. You're an astronaut that you sort of land with your pod on a planet, and it's a round planet. So as you go around it, you can actually full go around the planet. It's huge, but not so big that you couldn't go around it. I mean, the visual styles are very low poly, kind of style.
Yeah.
For the terrain, but everything else is a higher kind of cartoony polycount. So it's smooth for your, you know, your character model and your equipment and stuff, but the terrain is set up in a very like low poly kind of count, and you can deform, you can dig tunnels, you can do all sorts of stuff. You're going to collect like all various different types of things. There's wreckage from other people that have landed on there, all kinds of stuff. There's these big, strange, big building things that you can kind of activate. I don't know what they do, but I've activated one and I found a second one. So I'm just going to keep activating them. It's quite fun. You'd have to constantly make sure that you've got an oxygen supply. So you need to leave like, or run like a oxygen tether around the world, and you can only go so far away from it before you disconnect, and then you're running on the air that's in your pack, and if that runs out, you die.
Right. Yeah, damn. So obviously it's an oversimplification, but it does read like kind of a cartoony No Man's Sky.
Kind of, but far smaller universe.
Yeah.
And you can actually take off and get onto some of the other planets in the solar system, I believe.
Okay.
That's part of the things coming up. Yeah, it's pretty fun. I, like I said, I've been looking at it for a long, long time, and was very, very happy to be able to get the chance to play this. Who sent us these codes?
That would be Stride PR.
Ooh, thank you very much, Stride PR.
Thank you, Stride.
Hmm.
Yeah, like this is one that you actually put on my radar to begin with because you were so excited about it. It's been sitting on my Steam wish list for a while for that rainy day when there's both a Steam sale on and I actually turn on my computer that week. So luckily I don't have to worry about that anymore. So now that I do have some free time in the coming week, I am looking forward to checking that one out.
It's very, very fun. There's a couple of things that are a bit annoying. When you set up a piece of equipment, to interact with it, it'll sometimes will have like a little control panel. It's like, here's like a printer. So you go up to it and you got to press on the little control panel that's on it. You can press F, like your interact button on your keyboard or whatever it is on your controller to do it. But I'll tend to click on it just because with the mouse, it's just easier to click. Except if you don't click on the tiny little part that is the interface bit, it will like pick the actual like item up off of what you've like mounted it on, and then it can break connections to your power and stuff like that.
That's annoying.
So it would be nice if you could just kind of, there was another like an easier way with the mouse to just, I want that, and click on it without picking it up. I'm always picking shit up and then having to put it back down again and then reconnect it to the various things. So that's a bit annoying, but I mean that's more like I guess I'm used to other games where you just mouse interact with items like that.
It's one of those like button map interaction things that it's the same thing that's bugging me with Kingdom Hearts, because triangle is used for way too much stuff. Like you use it to interact with like chests, to talk to people, to save, to like objects in the world that you have to interact with, but it's also all of your special attacks. So if you come out of combat with like a charge on one of your forms or one of the like second stage activations of your weapon or the new one that they've got, which is big sort of area attacks that are based on Disneyland rides. So there's like the pirate ship and the mad teacups and like a blaster and some other ones. So if you go up to a save point and you're not perfectly aligned and still, when you go to click on it, you will set off like a merry-go-round giant attraction that you could have saved for your next battle, because it doesn't get the context. There are no enemies around. Why would you want to set that off instead of saving?
And speaking of shitty controls, for all the much as I love it, Pikiniku, the buttons, it's fucked. The buttons are stupid. To like talk to people, you're pressing like Y and X or whatever on the Switch.
Not A and B.
A and B does, like, it's just, it's all over the shop. I was looking, I'd never hit the buttons correctly first time. It's the opposite of what you'd expect. Like, everyone, like, you know, the many years that we've got of like, we've worked out that this is the system, like, these buttons do this button does that. No, let's reverse it to fuck with people.
Yeah. Oh, what game was it where I had that same problem? Something I was playing recently where the sort of confirm and cancel buttons were reversed. And it wasn't that it was a Japanese game or anything. They were just reversed. So constantly I was clicking the wrong thing like Adventure Pals had it as well, because they put the confirm button in the wrong spot. It was just maddening.
I remember going from Final Fantasy 7 to 8, and the menu, and it was the buttons were all rotated one around for 8, yeah. And I was like, for fuck's sake, just I want it's when you're used to one thing and then someone like with a bunch of games and one game changes it, just fuck you.
Yeah, it breaks the pattern. It's not awesome. But yeah, no, I'm really feeling like the explorey, crafty, survival-y games it's lately.
Super chilled.
There's and no chillness is good.
Yeah, there's no enemies that I know of. It's just, I'll watch something on my second monitor and just throw it on. Awesome. I was watching the cricket the other day, had it on like all day, was just playing it for hours.
Nice.
Loved it. It's great.
Yeah. This and Subnautica is another one I want to check out, because I know that they have customizable levels of survival elements. So I think I've heard from a couple of people is it's best to turn off the hunger and thirst meters so you can enjoy a less stressful experience. Which is good for me.
Get good scrubs.
I don't want to deal with that. Like, I just want to do building and upgrades and explore and get upgrades so I can explore more. That's what I want. Like, I don't want to be constantly shoveling food down my gob.
It's really not that bad. The people that complain about it are, like, whining a little bit. But it's something that's kind of always there. Basically, what I do before I leave to go on an exploratory trip is I just, like, collect some food and some water. Go. Done. And then just piss off and I'm all good. But speaking of Subnautica, the second one that's coming out, the one that's set in the, I want to say north or south.
It's the North Pole, I'm pretty sure.
The North Pole. It's in early access now. So it's playable. Well, it will be soon if it's not out now.
Yeah, I think it's in beta at the moment. I remember seeing that it was coming up and then talk of people playing it. Because apparently there's some weird stuff in it.
I really want to play it, but at the same time, I want to wait because I want to be able to play the whole thing, start to finish, without having to kind of wait for the... Like, I was glad with the first one that I waited till it was 1.0 and done.
Yeah.
Before playing it, because I don't want to play it now and then, you know, go to play it in 6 months' time when it comes out properly and go like, well, it's all changed. Like, I knew already how to play this game and now I don't know how to play it and what's going on and... like bored by some bits, infuriated by other decisions, because there's always stuff that gets left out that you want to stay in
and then
gets left out. So I think I'm just gonna I really want to play it because I love Subnautica, but I think I'll wait until it's actually out.
Below Zero is the name. Launch into early access on the 30th of Jan, so yeah, could be a while before it's released, because the original one was early access in January 2018 and the final version, like the version that was good enough to release on consoles as a 1.0, was December.
There's the new one. It has penguins whose heads open up.
Yeah, I saw the weird penguins. Yeah.
Cool. And it has like a big fire boy that like comes out of the ice with a big unicorn, fiery unicorn tusk.
Ooh.
Yeah, watch the trailer. It's pretty crazy.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, like I'm thinking I will play it on console for the original Subnautica because... like, my PC is these days, and I just want a smooth experience.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to lay in bed because I'm very tired all the time. anything else you've been playing recently?
I've been playing a couple other things. Can't talk about them yet, but I have been playing a couple other things. Because some very lovely people have gotten to the New Year spirit by giving us a lot of cool stuff to play.
Yes. It's greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. We like feeling like we're real people.
Mm-hmm. And they've been, like, pretty much everything we've got has been pretty fun. So
It's nice to get things that are not bad.
Yeah.
Just as a general rule, I like things that are not bad.
Yeah, and we've been lucky enough to get some very, very cool stuff. It's been very fun. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing these other few things a bit more.
Yeah, there's so much new stuff coming up in the next few months because we have a little while before we hit the lull in the middle of the year again. So I'm looking forward to blasting my way through Kingdom Hearts and then just patiently waiting for the next thing. I was trying to think, there was something coming out soon that I was quite excited about. Or I thought I was excited about. Maybe I'm not anymore. It's a mystery. Now you say some stuff.
Let's do some quick fire news.
Yeah, let's do that, because there's really not much of it. Oh, yeah, I was excited about the new No More Heroes, but then I stopped caring about it. The Occupation, which is a timed puzzle exploration point-and-click adventure-y type thing on PS4, which comes out, today, apparently.
Cool.
That's cool. And Crackdown next week. Lol. there's really not much news as far as I can see, because I wrote down, like, two things.
Oh. Let's go, like, most recent. A bunch of stuff came out in the Super Bowl. Trailers and shit. Yeah. There was nothing there that was really, like, oh my god, I have to see/do that.
Yeah, I haven't totally caught up on it all. There are a couple of trailers that I haven't watched yet.
More sad Captain America.
More sad Captain America.
Yeah.
Because he can't not be sad.
Mm-hmm.
There was a trailer for... Apparently there's a Fast and Furious universe movie where they have superpowers.
Well, it's Idris Elba. Some sort of Superman. He's bulletproof. He's got powers. And then Jason Statham and The Rock try to fight him.
Okay, so Fast and the Furious has gone off the fucking rails, apparently. It went off the
rails, like, way back. Like, way, way back.
Superheroes are a real turning point, I think.
Well, I think they're explaining it away as, like, some sort of, like, ex-military person who's got, like, enhancements of some kind.
Of course he does.
But it's Idris Elba kicking the shit out of people, so...
Yeah, so we're fine with it. Yeah. Yeah, so there was Avengers Endgame, there was a Captain Marvel spot, there was one for the Us... which is the next horror movie from Jordan Peele, which I am actually super into because it creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. It didn't really seem to be much more than we saw in the trailer for it that came out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I found that the original trailer, like the full-length trailer, gave a lot more like creepy moments.
Yeah.
And just like showing them doing weird physicalities.
I'm predicting it definitely looks like some sort of like weird, like supernaturally, like other some like... creatures taking on their appearance, or like parallel dimension-y, where it's like them, or like time travel thing where it'll turn out that's like them from the future, they're trying to kill themselves for reasons, or like something weird like that.
That could be fun. Yeah, so there was those and some other stuff probably.
There was a bit for Handmaid's Tale Season 3, which had like two new shots in it. It was kind of meh.
At some point I've got to watch that show.
It's a real downer, man. Like it's not a fun show. It's a great show, but it's not sunshine and happiness. It's, wow, this is really fucked up that we're really not that far away from this.
Well, I'm running out of things to watch, so it'll happen eventually.
Speaking of things to watch, Titans came out. It's all right.
Yeah, they dropped the whole season on Netflix.
Yeah, a while ago. It was all right.
Experience.
Yeah.
I watched through it over a weekend, so I still had a good time.
I still think that it's just, Starfire's outfit is ridiculous. And the show goes on for days and days and days, and she just doesn't change her outfit.
She does, but it's a different purple outfit that's terrible.
And then they mentioned something about her not fitting in. And she's like, what do you mean I don't fit in? And you're just like, for real? Like, I know you've got some, like, amnesia shit going on, but
nah. Some pants.
Just, you fit in when you're, like, in the red light district, not when you're going into, like, a diner.
Yeah.
It's,
It's weird. At the same time,
Doom Patrol was great, though.
Doom Patrol does look good.
Yeah.
The little trailer they did of them all as well for their actual series was pretty cool. At the same time, Young Justice Season 3, Outsiders, has been going on. It's been really good. I've been enjoying it. Lots of like little heroes that I wouldn't expect it to be included. Harper Row, the almost Robin, Blue Jay, has shown up, which I was pretty keen on because she was just fun. Just like more and more like B and C lister characters, which I'm always excited when I can recognize them. Also they got Cyborg now, which is pretty cool. The funniest thing for me was that it was sort of starting before he was Cyborg because it was an origin episode. And when he's in the locker room at the football game with his teammates, one of the teammates who's like egging him on is voiced by the Cyborg from Teen Titans and Teen Titans Go. So different voice actor for the actual character, but they still had him there to say booyah.
They do a lot of that stuff these days. Get original actors to come back and either voice or just play not like a cameo thing, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
Also, over the weekend, they released Russian Doll on Netflix.
Which looks kind of like a weird, fucked up Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Natasha Lyonne from Orange is the New Black and other things.
American Pie.
Plays the lead character, Nadia Volvakov. That's right, her name is Volva. Starts on her birthday, and then she's leaving the party, and she gets killed by a car, and then wakes up back in the bathroom at her birthday party.
So from what I read, it sounded like it wasn't necessarily like a time thing. It's just whenever she dies, she goes back to the same spot.
No, it resets. It a time thing? Like, she goes back to when and where she was.
Oh, yeah, but like it's when she like dies or something, though, isn't it? It's not necessarily like
a time. Yeah, it's not end of the day. Yeah, it's like, yeah, there's times when she'll die straight away, times when she lasts a little while, and all sorts of weird stuff going on in the meantime that she's trying to make sense of. And I won't go too much further because the joy of it is that almost every episode ends with a moment where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, it's one of those unfolding shows that you kind of need to watch to appreciate. So yeah, I definitely like the look of that, and I'll get to it at some point. I'll want to have to finish The Punisher first, though, because that came out too. It's pretty fun so far. I like it. It's good.
I still haven't gotten past like 3 episodes of the original season, so...
That's a shame. It does... For all its goodness and stuff, there is a few things that just annoying. Like, okay, we're talking about The Punisher here, so people are going to die, right?
Yes.
And we're talking about The Punisher here, so there's characters in there that are... like, they're just way too dangerous to be allowed... to be left alive, effectively. Like, these are cold-hearted killers that you can't keep contained. They will kill people. They will continue to kill people. And yet one of the characters is all like, oh, he's too dangerous. We got to get him. And Frank's all like, I'll fuck him up. I'm the Punisher. I don't want to do it, but he's going to keep killing people, so I'll kill him. And then the person's like, oh, no, but you can't kill him. Where? It's the Punisher. Like, this person has to die.
He's otherwise, the Punisher. He punishes.
Yeah. This person that they're debating, I won't say who it is because it... you haven't seen the first season. Yep. But it kind of relates to first season, of course, being the second season. But it's just like, fuck, this person needs to die. Like, 100% they need to die. And you've got a person here who's will gladly kill this person. And it's all good. It's all done. It's over. No more people have to die except that one guy. But no, exactly. Of course not. Has got a really cool and creepy bad guy in it, though. He's walking around. Yeah. And he's like a religious nutter dude. No. There's Jigsaw and another dude.
Oh, okay.
And so the other dude is like super cool, super creepy. Nice. He's got this whole like weird, like religious, like Nazi ties, weird thing going on.
Cool.
Wife dying cancer. He's going away on trips to kill or cover up some sort of secret that, of course, dropped in Punisher's lap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. While we're on a Netflix kick, there was also a trailer released for the second season of The Dragon Prince, the new show and franchise from the team behind Avatar. One big change, because they've said that they were going to listen to fan feedback and sort of take it into account properly. That is true, because the second season they've much smoothed out the frame rate from the sort of artistically choppy look of the first season, which I'll admit did kind of become less noticeable as it went on. But like you can see in the trailer, they have shots from the first season that then shift into the second season, and it is very obvious that there's a difference.
Good. So, I'm a bit kind of funny when it comes to visual stuff because I had issues with migraines and stuff. So visual weirdness does like fuck with me and make me feel like I might be getting a headache and stuff like that. And I don't like that very much.
Yeah.
So please, more of this. I'm looking at you, Into the Spider-Verse. I know everyone loves you, but I just, when I see the choppiness of it, it just, I can't do it. So
when it gets a home release, please at least try to watch it because it's such a good film.
Yeah, I know. And, it's right up my alley, but...
Yes.
If you're going to do dumb shit, like, make the frame rate like a... I'm playing on a shitty old computer from, like, 1995 video game where the frame rate's not smooth. Like, it just makes me feel like I'm doing that again as well at the same time. So no. Frame rates, real frame rates for real people. Come on, let's do it.
Poor diddums.
It's just jarring, so I can't get past it because I notice it. And once you've it's one of those things, once it's noticed, you can't unnotice it.
Like, I thought I would have trouble watching an entire movie like Spider-Verse with that frame rate, but it, like, you just get used to it. Like, you adapt. I didn't even notice it by the end. I found it really smooth, although they obviously sort of increased the frames for action shots and stuff to make sure it sort of visually tracked. But yeah, I liked it. I really only have one other piece of news. It's just sort of a little aside to something we discussed last episode. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey, had its second story DLC, which I can't remember the name of because I haven't played it yet. But everyone got up in arms because Odyssey was all like, live your Odyssey, be the kind of hero you want to be, which basically translated to make whatever choices you want and fuck whoever you want to fuck. So you could choose to be male or female. You could choose to bed males or females or both or none, depending on how you wanted to play the character. It was all very kind of empowering, etc., etc. But this DLC railroaded you into having a sexual and romantic relationship with a character in order to produce a child.
And yeah, they played the whole, like, future of your line kind of card. So you're obligated to do it, except they also made it so you had to be romantic with them.
Yeah, so depending on how you played, say you played as Cassandra, the female assassin option, you could play her as like a tough as nails, sarcastic, only sleeps with the ladies, like gorgeous Amazon warrior. But this DLC turned you into a housewife. You would coo over your male partner and take care of your baby and go do the shopping and do the ironing and all that kind of good stuff. It was not the best, but yes, they did play the oh, you have to continue the bloodline, it's always the plan, and then they sort of tried to defend this saying we're not changing it, and now they've turned around and said that they will change it, they'll change the DLC. I don't know if that, I'm pretty sure they're not going to remove the option to have the baby entirely, but they are going to make it so it's not intrinsically a romantic relationship, it can be a fuck of convenience.
Basically, like, there's no real issue with the, like, okay, you have to produce an heir. Because, I mean, like, in that type of time period with the way they're, like, playing with, and the whole, like, and they're playing with the whole, like, epic, like, long family, like, historic things. Like, that's fine. You can do that whatsoever. But having to force people into, like, oh, no, you're, like, fully in love with this person and, like, you know, relate. Yeah. Like, sometimes you just want to, you get in there, like, fine, let's bang this out, literally, and then we're good.
Yeah, exactly. So, they've said they're going to remove that. So you have the choice whether or not you want to be lovey-dovey. And also, it'll affect the storyline of the following parts of the story coming up. So they're kind of restructuring it a little bit, because I'm assuming that it was just like, go on your honeymoon and pick out wallpaper together and all kinds of nonsense like that. So it's nice to see that they had tried to not admit their faults and say there wasn't a fault and then admitted it and then said they weren't going to fix it and then just admitted they have to fix it if they want to keep the fans.
Let's face it at this point, like, that is in no way going to stop sales of another Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, no, but it would definitely give their shares a hit and such. I haven't played any of that story DLC yet because I sort of heard this coming and I was like...
It might hit them in, like, a very small amount of time, but then they're just going to be like, next Assassin's Creed game, and then it won't matter.
It's Ubisoft. Like, they can pretty much rely on the profits of every other franchise they have under their belt. So, given that, it is nice that they're at least making the concession there for public face, if not profit. And that's the episode!
I've played one Assassin's Creed game. Oh, no, two, sorry. I played the multiplayer from one because it was fun. Leaping out of bushes and stabbing people.
That is true. That's what I like to do on my weekends. So thank you for tuning in this week for your weekly dose of The Indoorsman, which is this podcast where we talk about video games and pop culture and how hot it is outside sometimes.
It's not hot today. It's quite nice today. Yeah. Like 30.
It was moderately toasty.
We're going to get some rain. First rainy day in Adelaide in like 35 days or some shit tomorrow. That's gross. Apparently.
Yeah, we had some rain the other night.
I mean, that's summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like our opening and closing music, it is Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. And you can find it on Bandcamp and all kinds of other places around the internet where artists post their music.
Exactly. If you want to find us on the internet where we don't post our music because we're not musicians, you can go to indoorsmanpodcast.com, The Indoorsman on Facebook, and at indoorsmanpod on Twitter and Instagram. Don't look at the Instagram. I still haven't updated it.
Instagram's stupid anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
If you want to get in contact with us like directly, you can go on Twitter, me not so much, at Cliff and Monkey, or lots. I always get constant emails about updates from at Ponk, who is Matt. Mm-hmm. Or you can email us directly at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That is correct. And yeah, please tweet at me because I don't actively do social media as my job anymore, so I keep forgetting to Twitter. And I miss it. I like interacting with people.
The only time I look at Twitter is to see if, like, game servers are down or some shit.
We'd also like it if you could subscribe, review, and rate the show on iTunes or your podcast medium of choice, whatever it may be. It helps us get our name out there, helps us go up in the rankings, and then we can trick people into loving us. Which is the goal of all podcasts.
And if you play the podcast backwards, it's really some, like, black magic, like, shit that will, like, force you to like us.
It just summons, like, a weird smell in your microwave, though, that's it.
I mean, that's just normal microwave stuff.
This is true. So it really does nothing.
But if you really want to believe it does something, then of course it does.
Because that's how The Secret works.
Oh, yeah, that New Age bullshit.
Yeah.
But for now, he's been Matt.
And he has been Cliff. So by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying, I have successfully gotten through this entire episode without sniffing or coughing directly into the mic. You are welcome. I could sniff for emphasis, but I know how gross. Oh my god.
I don't need to sniff, I just thought I'd have to.
Okay, this is done.
That sniff, let's face it, that sniff could have been way worse. You could have done it.
It really could have.